Hello, welcome to Star Wars Spelt Out. I'm your host, Josh Chapman, and today we're back after a little break. We took a break. We're doing Ahsoka every damn week, and it was Star Wars this, Star Wars that, and I just had to take a little break. But when I come back hard. I bring the big guns. We bring our friends. A man who needs no introduction. A former bad motivator, but I feel like it's kind of like being a president. Like, you're always a bad motivator. It's like Mr. Bad Motivator. But let's just get him to say hi. Eric Struthers, how you going, my friend?
Oh, man, I'm great. I'm great, Josh. Thanks for having me on. I love your show. And it's nice to be back doing Star Wars-specific podcasting.
I know. You walked away. You went out on top. You sort of said, you know what? We've reached the mountain, and it's time to just wave goodbye and close shop. How are you feeling about that? Was that 6 months on now? Has it been?
Yeah.
3 or 4 months?
I guess it's getting close to that. You know what? It was actually the right move at the right time. And, you know, Cruiser and I, we're still tied. It's just life is a thing. And I'm still doing the Sith list with Araj and the gang. And the good news about that is all I have to do is show up and my contribution is done.
It's the best.
And so
guesting on podcasts.
That's what makes it work out so well.
I love it. I don't get invited on a ton of podcasts. I do a little bit. But the whole idea when someone just goes, hey, just turn up at this and log in and chat and then just leave. I love it.
There's something pretty special. But, well, I'll tell Raj that he needs to get a hold of you.
Oh, anytime. Well, it's funny because I was listening to you guys just before. I did a bit of a Struthers marathon. I was too behind on Dinner with the Healers, where you've inserted yourself into the Bluey Empire, basically, and which we'll get to in a minute. And then and Sith List. And there was one last week or the week before where, you know, it's kind of weird because it feels like even though you've got five hosts, when you drop down to three, it really feels sparse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I've gone, oh, you know, I could have stepped in. But it's hard because it's just sometimes people drop off last minute. You don't know what's going on. It's a lot of moving parts for that many people.
Well, and that's been the last 3 weeks. Literally, we are all sitting in a... it's Streamlabs lobby and it's being like, where's so-and-so? And then we'll get the message in the show's chat. It's like, hey, insert thing here. It's
like, didn't make it. Okay. Sorry, guys. It didn't make it.
We were down two guys, I guess, the week before. And somehow our episode was only like 45 minutes.
Well, I think we've cracked this nut.
Yeah, we've done it. We've done all we can. Yeah. So, yeah, it really does change the flow.
It certainly does. I mean, I've never done an episode. Well, obviously, because it's just me, so I've never done an episode where I'm not here. I think I could probably, you know, I think, you know, Catherine, obviously, someone who comes in and guests a lot of the time. I feel like if we were doing an episode, if we were doing like a review show, and you know, I came down with something and I had to do an episode, I think I could get Catherine to steer the ship. You know, I think she could control the likes of Matt Mole or Turbo or those guys and things, but it hasn't happened yet. I haven't sort of had to, you know, abandon. I don't think I've ever lost an episode. Have you ever lost an episode completely? Like, you recorded one and it's just gone? I feel like you're too meticulous in preparation.
I had a false start one time. And I almost lost an episode, and this is super audio nerd stuff, where my computer crashed in the middle of the recording.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens when you write waveform audio is if it doesn't like stop complete it, it doesn't write the header and the footer of the file correctly.
Yep.
And I had to do a whole bunch of tap dancing to get that done, but I did it, and that's the only part that matters.
You just resurrected archaeological, you know, it was like that new Beatles song. You had to use AI to, you know, to resurrect the audience. We had to find some lost recording of Cruiser to bring him in, and then we had to bring this in, and we had to, technically it was a bad motivators, you know.
Well, what you actually have to do, and I promise, guys, we won't talk about this very long, is you have to use a hex editor. Like, and you're looking at the hexadecimal code and you figure out, well, here's what the header of this wave file should have looked like, and then reconstruct it. And it's bonkers, man.
All for podcasts. All for silly Star Wars podcasts. Yeah, yeah. It's just like, how does it feel if you don't get him out? But as I alluded to before, you know, you and the family are just these bluey bigwigs now. You're synonymous. You've got to be, I think you're in, I mean, I know there are a lot more bluey podcasts. You know, obviously there's no more Peppa Pig ones except for the one that Matt and I do because people aren't that stupid. But, you know, there's a fair few bluey podcasts now, but you guys are riding high in that. You must be in the top two or three bluey podcasts in the world now, I think.
I mean, you know, I'm not sure
how you judge that, but it seems like it. You're always at the top of the results everywhere I look.
Yeah. We have a lot of fun doing it, I can tell you that. And we've got a lot of fans. And I think one of the things that really works out for us is that it's very much like Bluey as a show.
Mm-hmm.
Is that it's talking about a thing that's kid-centric and perfectly safe and pointed toward the kids, but also from an adult perspective that gets something out of it. Our kids do the show with us. We get tons of kids listening to the show with their parents, and we get messages from the parents and the kids. And then that really means something. And I think that's what has made our show successful.
Well, after wrangling Cruiser in Dallas for years, working with a couple of kids probably feels like a walk in the park. You know,
it was the easy one. Yeah, it was so much less demanding, a lot less crying, you know.
So when you guys do that, I'm just curious about the setup. Are you around a table with hand mics? Do you come into the room that you're in now and you're all crowded around the one mic? Like, do you set up for, how does it actually work in a family dynamic?
So we're in this room and I have mic stands around the room. And but nobody else has such a fancy mic as this Shure SM7B. But
Dad
yeah,
has to sound the best.
A dynamic mic and on a mic stand, and I've got headphones all around, and we record right here in the room.
Well, it's appropriate
because we can see each other, but it's still separated.
Yeah, because you know, Bandit, the guy who plays Bandit, Dave McCormack, is a famous Australian musician. He was in a famous Australian band, so it would make sense that Dad has the best gear. Because, you know,
well,
it's funny because, like, his band, Custard, you know, they peaked in the 90s, but they did the radio station that we have in our house, sort of that plays in the background constantly, is a station called Double J. So basically, Triple J is a national youth broadcasting station. It's run by the ABC, so it's government run. And, you know, it was kind of broadcaster all around the whole country. So it was a really big deal for someone like me who was a regional kid. That's how we got exposure to like good music and alternative music and blah, blah, blah.
Gotcha.
still around, but you know, in the 90s when I was at that age, you know, Custard were one of the bands that sort of was on there quite prevalent. We saw a lot of their gigs and stuff. And then they basically got an offshoot digital station called Double J, which is basically for all the people like me who have aged out of the youth station because it's still a youth station. So they're like, well, we don't play the crap that we played in the 90s anymore because we're still trying to get that demographic of the youth, but we want to keep the listeners. So we have this thing called Double J in the house. So they'll play newer stuff, but they'll also play all the stuff that they used to play. So in our kitchen, you know, where the radio usually is on, and my girls who are very attuned to Bluey will sometimes hear a Custard song and they will stop and they'll go, "That's Bluey's dad. What's Bluey's dad doing on the radio?"
That's cool.
Because he's got a very similar talking, singing voice, yeah.
I'm going to have to check out their music.
It's very good. It's very kid.
Is it?
Like your kids would very... I'll send you a couple of tracks. Like it's not kids' music, but it's got a sort of playful vibe to it as well, which is sort of very...
Gotcha.
Yeah, for the most part, yeah. So it would be very accessible. You could be like, "Hey, listen to this band. It's got a band. What do you think about this song?"
So, you know, I'm a big fan of David Collins' podcasts and his audio work and so on. But he has the Soundtrack Show.
Yep.
And he does a lot of voice work in video games and cartoons. And he was the voice of Boss Baby's dad.
I know Boss Baby.
In the series.
Boss Baby has got a bit of a run at our house. But, yeah, right.
And so his dad is Dave W. Collins. And I was listening to the Soundtrack Show, and my kid, this was several years ago, were like, "Hey, that's Boss Baby's dad." I was like, "Well, that's cool that you knew him that direction."
Yeah. And here he's talking about, you know, E.T. or, you know, the Empire Strikes Back, Salani. But I always, my overriding David W. Collins memory, of course, is the Attack of the Clones panel where the fire alarm went off at in Anaheim. And we ended up getting about, you know, 40 seconds of 40 seconds of panel. That wasn't about 45 minutes of panel, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. It was pretty short. And what's a bummer is I was really wanting to meet him. And because, you know, just because of my, oh, David Collins, you're so awesome, I had messaged him a couple times. And he's like, well, listen, hopefully we'll get a chance to, like, say hello at Celebration.
Yeah.
And during the panel, the fire alarm goes off. We're outside, and he's literally right behind me. And I wanted to be like, hey, but his kid was scared to death.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah.
Because of all the hubbub, you know. And so I didn't say anything. I think you're cool.
Yeah, so I don't think I've spoken to you since we went to Celebration Europe. I'm just trying to think the last time you were on. I think it was pre-Celebration Europe. Obviously, one that you missed out on, but
right.
we did miss our American friends who didn't make. A few of them made it over, but yeah, it's not quite the same. If the whole gang's not quite there, but it's yeah.
Yeah, I missed being there. One of the best parts about any of this, and I know we've all talked about it several times, but it's the friends.
Mm.
It's the friends along the way. And so I didn't get to go to Celebration Europe, but then I took the family to Disney in Anaheim over the summer, this past summer.
Oh, nice.
In the U.S. Yeah, and so we were actually out and went to Araj's house. He had to get together for us, but just only the SoCal crew was there. Like,
we'll have our own party. We don't need those.
Yes, forget those guys. But, you know, that's one of the best parts about it. And it has been a while. I didn't even think about how long that's actually been. Well, because it's like I hear you talk all the time on your podcast. And so it's like, well, sure, I've talked to Josh.
Yeah, recently. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it was. I mean, we had a great time, but it was also like it was slightly different. But it was, you know, different for me because it was like a homecoming back to London where I lived. So it was right. I had the local knowledge and stuff. So that was very cool. But it was a different experience. It wasn't sort of like the sunny skies of Anaheim, but it wasn't the freezing winds of Chicago either. It was somewhere in between. But it was that was cool. Now I've got to speak to you about your number one lady, Taylor. Taylor fever has swept Australia for the last few months, as it has everywhere else. She's she's due to play in Melbourne at our sporting ground called the Melbourne Cricket Ground that holds 100,000 people, and she's doing three shows, and nobody can get a ticket. It's just, you know, including myself, who was like, oh yeah, you know, should be able to get a seat to that. That's over 300,000 tickets available over three nights. It should be doable. Like, no. She crashed Ticketmaster. Yeah. She left a trail of destruction everywhere she went, basically.
You know, that's a tough thing, man. You know, I was fortunate. I got to see her in Kansas City, which is about 4 hours from where I'm at. And I had great seats. I spent a ton of money to get them. And I bought them when they went on the pre-sale.
Yeah.
Well, then she announces some new dates for the end of 2024.
End of 2024? Oh, okay. So end of next year. Gosh, she's working.
And they're already all sold out. I mean, I didn't even get selected to be in the pre-sale. And tons of people did. And people kept clinging on to hope that, oh, I bet that means they've only sold a certain percentage of tickets. I'm like, no.
Do you think
she's just quite popular?
Do you think she's a bigger industry, I mean, collectively, than Star Wars? Do you think her net worth... Star Wars sold for, what, $4.5 billion? It's probably worth now than it did at the time it was sold. Do you think Taylor is worth... Like, if you had... Eric, if you had $4.5 billion in your pocket and someone said you could buy the Taylor... You could buy Taylor Swift from a business point of view, nothing else.
Right.
Or you could buy Star Wars, what do you think's the better investment? From an investment point of view.
From an investment point of view, I would say Taylor Swift. And the reason I say that is that her business acumen is over the top. She's incredibly savvy. She's made nothing but smart decision after smart decision after smart decision and has managed to capitalize on situations that for a lot of artists would derail him pretty hard, and she's managed to come out on top and just have money pouring all over. And I mean, whether you like fall into the whole idea of like karma or any of that, she's extremely generous and keenly aware of how she got where she is. And like, just as an example, after the first leg of her tour in the U.S. was over, she gave each one of the tractor trailer drivers a $50,000 bonus. Just all of them. She didn't have to do that, but she did. And all of her musicians, just here, this, I couldn't have done this without you. And people who are pouring that much out into the universe are getting it back. You know, it's just, it's part of how it rolls. But she's so savvy.
She could buy Star Wars.
Oh, sure, she could.
Taylor's version. Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift, Taylor's version. Star Wars, Taylor's version. And she just puts herself in. She just recasts herself. She goes, I'm just going to put myself, I'm going to remake, I'm not even going to remake Star Wars. I'm going to re-release. Taylor Swift bought Star Wars. She's re-releasing A New Hope. And she's playing Leia. Or she's playing all the characters.
She could do it. She has the range. So if you guys don't know what Josh is talking about with the whole Taylor's version thing, what that is her old record company owned the rights to the recordings, the masters. Not, they don't own her songs. She wrote them, but they own the recordings, right? And that's common practice. That's why record labels are worth money, is because they lose a ton of money on artists that don't work out. This is how they stay viable. Anyway, the guy who ended up buying her old record label, it was kind of vindictive and it was kind of ugly, and she had left that record label and started her own label. And once this person who actively disliked her publicly owned her masters, and it was a whole thing, she's like, well, you know what, I'll just re-record these albums. And a lot of other artists have done this. If you're ever on Spotify and you're like, this doesn't sound like this recording by Journey, this isn't what I remember, it was redone. They do that
go ahead. I was going to say, there's one version. You remember the band Everclear? Do you remember the band Everclear?
Uh-huh.
I think that they've had a revolving lineup except for the one guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw something where they had a greatest hits recently, and it was all the songs had all been basically re-recorded on the thing. So whether it was for that particular reason or to not have to pay the other blokes on the ones that sold or whatever it was, it's an interesting one. But she's sort of, I mean, like you said, a lot of people have done it, but you kind of have to have that clout and that fan devotion to be like, oh, well, not only am I going to support this, I'm going to go out and I'm going to buy it again. And I'm going to buy the vinyl version, and I'm going to buy the...
And the new versions outsell the old versions that have been out for several years in a very short span of time.
Yeah. And she's very clear, like, these are the ones I want you to buy. And everyone's going, like, well, we want to do right by her. So we won't give anything to the other ones. It's another Lucasfilm level of Star Wars marketing savvy. It's a re-release. It's like a re-release. It's a re-release. It's a special, almost like a special edition, isn't it, really? It would be like if George Lucas somehow... I guess he sold the whole thing. But it would be like if he went back and he remade Star Wars. He's like, well... You know, Disney have got control of Star Wars now, but I still own the scripts or something. So I'm going to remake Star Wars now, and I'm going to put it out, and I want everybody George's version, Star Wars, George's version. I want you to all go out and have that be the definitive version of crazy. It could.
Yeah.
Something might happen one day. Maybe not necessarily to Star Wars, but. I think they're remaking like Harry Potter, because my daughters are really into Harry Potter at the moment. I think they're doing like a TV series rather than the movies. And I don't know what, you know, I think it's all owned by the same company. I think Warner's own it all anyway, or at least have the rights to it. So I don't think it's like, you know, I think they've gone, well, the movies have just exhausted, you know, there's only so many copies of the movie you can sell, even though my kids stream those movies over and over again. But then they're going to make a TV show and sort of start it all up again. But it's not quite a remake, though, is it, really?
No. But, you know, you're right, though. If you take Star Wars and you think about kind of like the way it's been the Phoenix from the Ashes a couple of different times in the big picture, that what would it take to kind of like just do it all again, do the same thing all again? I think people are hungry enough for, like, the original Star Wars. You could probably, it might work out. I don't know.
I think it'd depend on where it came from and what was the, you know, like, I just think if Disney just turned around and said, we're going to remake it, you know, the other one will always be there. It's like the, you know, like the Lion King live action ones or the Aladdin, mm-hmm. you know, it's like, well, it's the originals will always be with the originals, but we're going to redo these things. But yeah, I don't know. I feel like it would have to be a George's version. That did have to be some meaning behind it to give it some momentum. And I think just out of curiosity, I think just out of curiosity, it would just be sort of crazy to see. I'm more for like a, you know, I'd like to see the Muppets do Star Wars. I think when I had Matt Frost on here, we talked about, you know, like a Muppet Christmas Carol, Muppet Wizard of Oz, just do the Muppet remake Star Wars with the Muppets. I think that's.
I would watch that.
Yeah. That's a brand synergy.
Yeah. Yeah, I would definitely watch that.
Just with one human in it. Well, Taylor Swift could be the one human in the
Muppets.
Taylor
Swift, yeah. Obviously. Yeah.
When she buys Star Wars, she's like, well, I'm going to remake it. And everyone's like, boo. She's like, well, I'm going to remake it with the Muppets. And everyone's like, hooray. Star Wars Muppets, Taylor's version.
Yeah, that would be something. And, you know, honestly, at this point, for as long as it's been since we've had a Star Wars movie in the theaters, I think you could do just about anything and people will come out for it.
Yeah, I think, well, I mean, it really feels like we're due for a film. And I know we're still mm-hmm. at least probably 2 years away, but it really feels like it's the, you know, and I like the TV stuff, don't get me wrong, and I love having two or three Star Wars shows a year coming out and, you know, 20 weeks of stuff, you know, out of the year that a show comes on that's Star Wars and I get to sit there and watch it. But nothing compares to that movie build up. Yeah. Nothing compares to that movie hype and all the stuff that comes with it. It feels like it's the shot in the arm that it needs. Yeah. Or that I need.
Well, it reminds you, it's like when you've been married a long time and you love your life and all this stuff, but then one night your in-laws keep the kids overnight and you and your wife get to go out and be young again. And it's one of those things where it's like you go to the movies and you're like, oh, right. Yeah. I remember being all excited about this. And there's just something magic about it.
Yeah. I mean, I felt not the movie magic, but I, when I saw the last Avatar film, so that would have been almost a year ago, I guess, when that came out, Christmas. You know, and I don't mind the Avatar films. They're perfectly fine. And I thought that one was perfectly fine. But sitting in there watching a big budget special effects spectacle on a big screen, I just went, man, it'd be great if Star Wars was on. Like, was this? This was Star Wars that I'm sitting in a darkened film and watching this sort of big, you know, thing roll out. And, you know, like, I love all of that. We've done, like, the midnight premieres here and we've had things with, you know, Steele put stuff on here, and even when he wasn't here, we went out and caught up with friends, and it's just something about that. Even though like the movie only goes for 2 hours, and it's, you know, a way less content than it is in the other, you know, than the shows, but it's
right.
I don't know. There's just something special. There's something special about that movie.
There is. I was thinking recently about because it pops up. Like in Facebook memories or whatever, that, you know, here's when we were talking about our tickets for Force Awakens, and here's when we were doing this. And it's like how that felt and how exciting that was. And I don't know, the anticipation and even like the going to see, well, the Force Awakens. I saw that in the theater, like, I don't know, 17 times, something ridiculous like that. And how still, though, every time it was always so exciting going in there. And, of course, by the end, a lot of times, it was just me and a couple of other crazies in the theater.
Well, not every person who was there was on their 17th time. It's like you, Eric. Right. You're like, well, I assume that every person in here, even when the crowds have dwindled, have seen this 17 times like I had. I mean, that's
there's that guy. He's going to pull out a microphone and ask us what we thought about the movie. but it was still exciting. And you're right. You know, I went to see Guardians 3 at the theater, and it was cool. It was space and cool stuff, but it was like, this would be way better if this was Star Wars.
Yeah, I mean, I would hate to go and not have that feeling. I mean, I guess that's the question of like, how much do you space these things out? How much is too much of a good thing? And, you know, that whole debate of, you know, running Solo 5 months after The Last Jedi and all that kind of thing. But it'll be, what's it, 2019 Rise of Skywalker. So it'll nearly be 6 years or something by the time, even if it comes out when it's supposed to, which is, if you told me that there would be a 6 year gap between Star Wars movies in this day and age, I would have thought you'd be out of your mind.
Yeah. Well, you know, because they originally were going to do one a year for
ever
in perpetuity.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now we haven't had one in a while. And what we're for sure getting next is still a bit of a question mark. And I don't know, man. It's wild to me. Like you said, if you would have told me this when The Rise of Skywalker came out, that we weren't going to get another
we'll
Star Wars
movie. We'll see you all in 6 years. Like, what?
Hang yeah.
on. Can you repeat that? I think I misheard that. Oh, well, there'll be a global pandemic and that'll shut movies down for a few years as well, you know, and then there'll be strikes and, you know, some of the directors will change hands and things, but you'll get some TV shows in between as well. And you know, you're like, oh, shit. Like, I don't think you could have predicted. I mean, obviously, no one's going to predict a global pandemic and stuff, but even as far
except
as like
the government, I'm just joking.
Well, Eric's other podcast, the one he doesn't tell us about,
the one that nobody knows about.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I want to feel that excitement. And you know, we were talking. It was funny before we started talking. We just caught up before we started recording, and we were just talking about the, you know, the ailments and the things that we get now that we're approaching middle age and all that kind of stuff like that. And you know, but ultimately we still feel as young as we always did, which I think is important. But you know, something like Star Wars is the ultimate. You know, get you excited, keep you in touch with your younger side and the excitement of all of that. Like I don't feel like I'll be any less hyped regardless what it is, you know, especially after this much of a wait.
Yeah, and I'm the same way. And when you think about like that magic of Star Wars, like I've got pictures of my dad. I took him to go see we didn't see the Rise of Skywalker together. Trying to think what we missed, but we definitely saw The Force Awakens, we saw Rogue One, we saw, and what we were doing is going to in St. Louis, Missouri, they have the Science Center and they've got the Omnimax, which is a sphere-shaped IMAX theater, and they would show the Star Wars movies in there for a limited run, and it was great because when it said the movie started at 7, it started at 7. There weren't any previews.
Nice.
And it was so massive, you couldn't see the whole screen at one time. You had to turn your head a little ways. But I would have pictures of us going to that. We'd always do the obligatory selfie. And, you know, my dad was 25 when I was born. And so he was just about 30 whenever Star Wars came out.
Yeah.
The original.
Yeah.
And it was, he's still like a kid whenever we would go to go see these movies. In this day and age. And that just tells you where that magic is, because it does. It kept him young and he couldn't wait to see him.
I'm not saying it's the last move that they can make. You know, there's always a danger of, I don't know, diluting the brand. I don't think the brand's been diluted. I think most of the TV stuff's been pretty well received. It's kind of, sometimes it's hard to keep momentum and excitement for just TV in general, I think, because just the viewing experience just lends itself to, I suppose, apathy, just because you don't really have to do anything. You just have to sit on the couch and you know, and just kind of watch it, you know. And even I've gone from, you know, when the first season of The Mandalorian came out, of just, you know, first we watched it with a bunch of people, the first few episodes, we had like a gathering, and then, you know, it was appointment TV that you would sort of sit and watch, you know, at night, and you know, dim the lights, wait for the kids to go to bed. And then it got to a point where it was just, I just find time to watch it on my phone because I needed time to watch it and I had to talk about it on the podcast or whatever. So whether it was just the specialness and it just becomes another thing that you're, that's just in the viewing rotation, I suppose, even if it's Star Wars or not.
Yeah, that's a tough thing to pin down, because that exact same thing was happening to me where, I'm going to stay up and I'm going to watch this as soon as it's live on Disney Plus. Okay, well, that's not realistic. Well, here's what I'll do. I'll get up early and I'll watch it, you know, before I go to work, or I'll get to work and claim I have something I need to do and shut my door and watch it in there. And it ended to where, okay, crap, I got to podcast in 2 hours. I need to watch this because this is what we're going to talk about. And it wasn't because I didn't like it, but I think maybe because there was so much of it, I didn't feel this sense of urgency to get it. And like what you said, where in this day and age, you know, being the age you and I are now, it wasn't that long ago in the grand scheme of things where you watch TV, you couldn't wait till it was on. Everybody was watching this show at the exact same time around the country. And then whenever the commercial came is when you ran to go to the bathroom and get something so you could get back because you didn't want to miss a second of it. And all of that built in this level of not anxiety, but like excitement for it. And now it's like, just push pause. I'll be right back. Wait, what did they say? Boink, boink, boink. Yeah. And there's something about it that's a little bit different. And I think it does there. It becomes less of a, what's the word I'm looking for, Josh?
Event?
It's like less of an event. I guess that's the easiest way to say it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And it's funny because there's been a couple of events that Disney Australia have put on that I've been to, like you could invite to a couple of them, and I think Steel hooked us up to one as well, which was, I think, was the Obi-Wan finale, and then was it the Obi-Wan finale, and then the Mandalorian season 3 finale. There's been a couple of them, maybe even season 2 and season 3 finales, and at IMAX, and they put them on the IMAX at the cinema or whatever, you can go see it, you know. And that was, you know, Disney put it on, and you know, you get like a little goodie bag, and they give you a Black Series figure, and it was like, you know, you'd meet your friends at the front, and it would almost feel like a movie. It was the closest thing we had to those opening nights. You know, there it was like, we're watching something we haven't seen before that's Star Wars, that's on a big screen, and so there's the excitement that builds up and blah, blah, blah. And that like brought it all back to the front of like, yeah, that's what sort of charged the battery, or, you know, that's what, and you can't do that every week.
No. Yeah, you definitely cannot, or at least I can't.
No.
Maybe that's a young man's game.
Exactly. We were lucky because, I mean, the Australian time zone, because the drop time would be like right in the early evening. So we would always have that sort of perfect time when it would come out. You could, you know, go straight on there and stuff. But I think now that they've moved it to this, they've moved it to like American prime time. Mm-hmm. So it comes out at like midday here in Australia, which is still fine. But it also means it's like, oh, I could just watch this in my lunch break because I don't want to worry about getting spoiled in the afternoon by somebody.
One thing that I've noticed, so I'm a Marvel fan as well, but nowhere near the level I am for Star Wars, not even close. Mm-hmm. But I was watching season 2 of Loki. And, you know, that series was pretty trippy. And my wife, she loves the MCU, but like that show just was not her bag.
Yep.
Too many twists and turns, the whole bit. And so I watched the first episode of season 2, and I watched most of the second episode, and then didn't watch it again until all 6 episodes of season 2 were done. And last week I sat down and watched all of them in a row, one after the other. And it made it such a better experience. Watching them in that manner, that I think if I had watched one and waited, it wouldn't have been as satisfying.
Yeah.
And so when I think about it in that way, the impetus to watch it immediately just isn't there now.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's the luxury of like something like Marvel, at least in, like you said, you're like, I'm a fan and I like it, but I can wait, and you know, no one's really going to spoil it to a degree, where it's like Star Wars. It would be the sport. I think it would be the spoiling over the waiting wouldn't be amazing either. If I sort of sat there and knew that there were episodes sort of sitting there. I mean, even when we went to Celebration London this year, and I think an episode dropped not long, maybe just when we arrived in London, or just while we were in the air, and like we got back, got to the hotel, And we'd only, you know, been in the city for about an hour, and you're like, you know, we've been flying for 24 hours from Australia, and everything's, you know, up is down. And it was the episode, right. It was the Lizzo and Jack Black episode. And I've gone, well, I've got, you know, we had like an hour and a half before we had to go meet some of my old work friends in London. And, you know, so everyone, like Kat was, she was having a shower and getting cleaned up. I'm like, all right, well, I'll just sit here and I've got to do it because it's sitting here. Like I can't.
Right.
Wait for it to not, you know, and then of course you just watch that episode and going, oh, I must be still jet lagged. I must be misreading this. Am I watching what I think I'm watching? Is this the, and the funny thing was that I, you know, as I mentioned before, a friend of the show, Catherine Neen, had arrived not long before we had, and she messaged just going, yeah, I've just watched that Mandalorian. I think I might be jet lagged. I think something's like something's wrong with me. I'm pretty sure like somebody Lizzo knighted Grogu or something weird like that. Yeah. Or yeah,
were you hearing like the opening music of Lost?
Yeah.
Going, did we actually make it here?
Yeah.
That was a trip though too. That whole episode.
And, I haven't gone back and rewatched it yet. Well, the funny thing was that the day after. Was, you know, we've traditionally done at Celebration sort of the night before Celebration starts. Everybody gets together and we go to a bar or a pub and we have drinks and we see everybody and blah, blah, blah. You know, inadvertently I'm walking around with a recording thing just getting people. And so we were all at this pub that was one of my favorite pubs in London because, you know, I knew where pubs were, so everybody came to me. So, you know, everybody's drinking and catching up and blah, blah, blah. And everybody had seen that Mandalorian episode. So we had this recording of everybody reacting to this completely bizarre episode. Everybody was in the same, you know, a few pints of beer deep, all discussing this weird. I'll have to go back and rewatch it. Have you rewatched it since it came out?
No, I watched it and then I watched it again like that evening because my wife wanted to see it. And since then, I mean, but that might as well have just been one viewing. It was like in the same day.
Yeah.
But yeah, not since. And I don't know how I would react to it.
But no. I don't know if it's, I don't think it's bad. I think it's weird. It's definitely weird.
I think it's weird.
But, you know, I had a lot of issues with that third season of Mandalorian anyway. And I don't think that episode was endemic of the issues at the you know what I mean, like I feel like it the whole
right.
season had issues with it, and that was sort of this weird outlying episode that was kind of just this, you know, some sort of wacky, I don't know, it felt like, I'm not a big Star Trek fan, but I know there's like weird Star Trek episodes where they go through time or they do something, you know, and it's completely off the wall. It kind of just felt like something like that, or like an episode of Red Dwarf. I don't know if you're familiar with that show, but yeah, I mean, good on him for swinging for the fences, I suppose.
Yeah,
but I guess that's another thing where it's like, well, if you didn't have Star Wars, if you didn't have episodic Star Wars, you'd never get that. Like, they would never do that in a film.
Right. Yeah. They have to have the ability to stretch out and do something bonkers like that. I mean, because like the whole thing had like that Law and Order.
Yeah, it was like a procedural kind of, you know.
Yeah. And
let's go find some.
But what about like? I don't know what to think about stuff that's coming up, like Skeleton Crew, for example, where it's going to be a bunch of kids and Jude Law. And I mean, I'm sure it'll be neat. I'm looking forward to seeing it, but I'm just wondering, like, what direction is that going to go? What are they going to do with it?
I think The Acolyte is the really fascinating one. Just because, one, it's not set at the same time as the other ones. So it can actually kind of not be bogged down so much by the things that are around it.
Right.
You know, it's a different time period. It's a time period we haven't seen before. I saw the trailer at Celebration London, actually. I wasn't in the Lucasfilm panel. We didn't get tickets to that. But I had gone to get into the Return of the Jedi panel and I couldn't get into that. And then I was walking past the High Republic panel. And I just sort of like stuck my head in and I said, oh, is there any room? And someone was like, yeah, there's a bit of room at the back, you know. Cool. So I missed the first 10 minutes and just sat in the back. And I'm not super familiar with the books. I'd read a little bit of the comics and stuff. And just, you know, was like, all right, hung around, you know, the High Republic fans are pretty hardcore, so they're all excited and stuff, which was cool. And then the lady who made The Acolyte came out and they showed the trailer, like, in the room, which was a surprise. So I got to see The Acolyte trailer, which was cool. Yeah, and it was really different to everything else. Like, it really looked and felt different. So I think it's, yeah.
Yeah. I've only seen that from, like, the
potato cam
hidden kind of camera footage. Yeah. And I mean, it does. It looks neat. And I'm super stoked on that. You know, one of the things that draws me to Star Wars, obviously, is the Force and the mysticism of it.
Mm-hmm.
That sort of thing. Lightsabers and good and evil. And I don't know. I'm super intrigued by that. And just how it seems so different.
Yeah,
all the Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
Yeah, and it's sort of this.
I hear people mentioning,
like, even like, you know, like the prequels, which was, you know, featured the Jedi very heavily. It was still dictated by we kind of knew where it was going to go. We knew that, like, eventually Anakin Skywalker is going to turn the dark side. There's going to be a Clone Wars. There's some bad stuff's going to go down, and eventually it's all going to kind of turn sour for them. Yeah, in the case of this, it's like, well, we know it's before then. Like, what are they up against? Like, what are their conflicts? What do they do when they're sort of at the peak of their powers? How does the relationships and everything work? I think it's really fascinating. We haven't really seen that in the Jedi are still kind of, even in the prequels, they're not periphery, but even though Anakin and Obi-Wan are Jedi, that the Jedi Order itself is sort of a thing that's kind of going on around them. You know, you kind of check in with them every now and then and check in with the council and stuff. Like, I kind of like the idea that maybe it's a lot more front and center. You can kind of see how how it operates and things. I think it'll be quite fascinating. Hopefully, because they can be boring sometimes, the Jedi as well. It can be a little bit stiff.
Oh, sure, they can.
So it would be nice if they've kind of, you know, got a little bit of personality. Maybe they haven't had all that sucked out of them by then.
Yeah. That was one of the things that made the prequels tough for a lot of people. And I probably was fairly unkind to the prequels when they were new. But I've really come to appreciate them more. But the way everybody was very subdued in their way of speaking and stuff, it made the story harder to sit back and take when it was acted in that way. And I realized George had his reasons, but it was a weird choice. And so I don't want it to be a snooze. I don't want all the scenes to be like it was when Obi-Wan heads to the library and talks to Jocasta Nu.
Yeah, they don't need to be so stoic. Like, I'd like to... That they all have a bit of personality, and, you know, and I think the idea is that that's kind of why they ended up, because they all got up their own butts and stuff, and the whole idea is that here things are a little bit more, you know, a little bit more loosey, not about loosey goosey, but you know what I mean, like, people are able to express themselves a little bit more perhaps, I think the idea is that it's kind of like, well, you see, this is why they kind of ended up the way that they did, because maybe people got given too many freedoms or whatever else, or, you know, they were on a longer leash or whatever. I don't know. Like, I just like the idea of that, of like, they were something before that was supposedly working, and then something happened and then they ended up sort of these sort of killjoys that weren't much fun.
Well, so the idea of the High Republic, I read whenever the first, oh gosh, King Tom had to tell me phase, when the first phase came out, I was like, the wave? No, that's not right. When the first phase came out, I really tried to keep up on the books, and they're good. It's the fact that I didn't keep up on the books is not a commentary on whether or not the books are good. But like, that era is intriguing because the Jedi were that's when they were as great as they ever were.
Yeah,
kind of thing. They were a beacon of hope and all these things. And it's really cool to see from that perspective. Well, now they've just, the third and final phase has just begun. And I've never been an audiobook guy ever, but Spotify Premium now includes 15 hours per month of audiobook listening. And the new Star Wars book is on there. So I kicked it out today. And I'm probably won't ever be like an audiobook guy for sure, but I want to know more about it. I want to know what's up with these people. And so having an era like the High Republic when the Jedi, like you said, everything was great and then suddenly it wasn't. Well, that's it happened.
Yeah.
In there. And I wanna know about it. And seeing it like in the Acolyte from the perspective of the quote unquote bad guys. You know, that'll be interesting because you know, we've said it a million times. Nobody ever thinks they're the bad guy.
No, no, exactly. They're always, was it the road to hell is paved with good intentions, whatever the term is?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you remember what you did for the Phantom Menace? Like the first time you saw Phantom Menace, were you like me, where you were the Star Wars guy and your group of friends, like the cheerleader of like, come on, let's get everybody going. Let's go see this Star Wars kind of thing. Is that you?
Actually, at that point, and this is going to be, fake fan. I didn't see Phantom Menace until, let's see, like 3 days after.
Oh, really? Like, I'll just wait for the hype to die down.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the thing is, I was at a different point in my life where I was, like trying to chase down a record deal.
Yeah.
And I was working 60 and 70 hours a week as an electrician and into the weekends and all that stuff. And it just, I couldn't devote the time because that was before like buying tickets online and all that stuff existed. Yeah. I just couldn't do it. I could not do it. And so I had to wait until, okay, I think it was a Sunday, I think is probably when I finally saw it.
Yep.
And so by then I just, it was just me. Yeah, really? None of the guys I worked with did. And I had only lived like, so I had only lived where I'm at now or in this general area for a year's time. And so like my circle of friends were dudes I played in this band with, none of whom were hip on going to see Star Wars with me. And there's these guys that I worked in this factory with. So yeah. I just went by myself.
Yeah. Right. Isn't that crazy? Like, it's such a different, like you said, by the time you get to Force Awakens, it was just like, I would have stepped over my mother to get to that screening in the first thing. Yeah. Yeah. That's funny, isn't it? I don't even remember. You couldn't pick seats. I'm wondering whether you could buy tickets online by then in Australia. There's a cinema near here. We went to a cinema in a shopping center called Forest Hill, which isn't far from where I live now. And I'd organized all the seats, and I must have bought at least 10 tickets, maybe more, for friends. And it was a midnight screening, but there wasn't allocated seats. So it was sort of like, so I do remember getting there, you know, like an hour or two before, kind of just waiting around to get the spots and to sort of hold the seats and stuff like that for a bunch of friends. But I don't remember. Well, we didn't have to like line up out the front of the cinema or anything like that kind of,
right?
Like it's just that weird thing. Like, you see there's footage of, you know, like Star Wars in 1977 and people just like, well, we've been queuing up for 6 hours to see Star Wars. And then I saw Star Wars and I got back into the back of the queue and then I just stood there again to probably watch it on a terrible screen with terrible sound and terrible seats in 1977.
It is quite a shift, because then you add the convenience, for example, of being able to do it all online. Is then after The Force Awakens, I didn't get to go see it until, I mean, I saw it on opening night, but it was a late, like 1 a.m., something like that.
Yep.
And because I had a gig that night, I remember, and it was just so random that I had a gig the night Force Awakens came out. But went to go see it. But then whenever I went to see Rogue One and then The Last Jedi and all that, I bought and would go see it, however many showings the theater was showing on opening night. So 3 in a row. And it was just so easy. I could just get three showings worth of tickets, boom, boom, boom. And I would leave and, you know, go to the bathroom, get some popcorn and get in the back.
Turn
and
around,
I
already
had the seats I wanted.
Oh, it was funny.
And when I went to go see, I guess it was probably The Rise of Skywalker, and I probably did it for The Last Jedi too, now that I think about it, is I had the same exact seats every showing.
Oh, really?
That first night. And so it's like I was joking around, you know, so I'm like, I got my ass groove worn into this seat.
Little
now.
Eric stitched on the back of the... Force Awakens was funny. I think I've told this story before, because it was they did the big screening down at Knox with Star Walking, which was the fan club in Australia. Mm-hmm. And Steele had attached himself to that. So he was doing the live reaction at the pub next door afterwards, which was cool because, like, we all sort of met, you know, went to the pub beforehand, went and saw the film, and then did the live show, you know, which ended at like 3 a.m. or something. You know, was 3 or 4 a.m, because like the movie started at midnight, then you did that, then the show after thing. But basically we were at the mercy, or at least I was at the mercy of, you know, the ticket allocation, because it was like you just bought a ticket to Steel Wars and a ticket to the cinema, but, you know, and we'll tell you where you're going to sit basically when you get there. And I think that they'd basically just given, like, the fan club had given themselves all the best seats, and then whatever was left went to the Steel Wars people. And I had 3 or 4 friends. So, of course, in order to fit 4 seats as well, it's like, well, you're not going to get 4 seats in a decent spot. So I think we were in like the second row on the right, like looking up at the screen. You know, we had these terrible, terrible seats. And I'm sure if Steele's listening to this, he'd be like, oh, I've heard you moan about this like 10 times on this, you know, on this thing before. And I'm sure it had nothing to do with him, because he's just, you know, whatever. He just got given, it would have been like, well, this is all the fan club get this, and this is what's left, and this will be all the people who get the stuff that's left after that. And I remember like sitting there with my, and taking some friends and being just kind of like, sorry about this, guys. Like, this is just where we're going to sit. And because we'd been to the pub beforehand, like, I'd forgotten to go to the bathroom before. So I had, like, of course, like a minute into the film, I had to go to the bathroom. And I'm going, well, it's The Force Awakens. I'm just going to have to will it away. You know, like, I just switched off that part of my brain and sat through the whole film and got to the end. And I just, I don't know, willed it away, basically.
Oh, my gosh. That's admirable.
But then the previous, because they did Last Jedi, Rogue One, Last Jedi, and I guess Rise of Skywalker. And then a friend of the show, Dale Williams, has been on a bunch of times. He got involved with Skywalking the following years. So he was like, don't worry, I'll hook you up. You know, the next couple of years, all of a sudden, I was in these beautiful premium seats at the same place. So I've been looked after. But, you know, that's part of the excitement. But I just remember those nights, like those premiere nights, and then doing the Steel Wars show afterwards and just going, it's like 3:45 a.m. here. You know, 4 o'clock in the morning, we're still going. It's, it's a long evening.
Yeah, it is. Well, I remember going to see The Force Awakens, and we didn't know it, but they had added like a 4 a.m. showing of it that we would have gone to if we knew it was a thing, because we came out of the showing we got to see, which was like at 1 a.m.
Yep.
And they were being really cool about like not letting anybody wreck it for you when they came out. You're queued up waiting to go in to your showing, because they didn't have reserved seats yet at the theater we went to go see it in. So everybody's bought the tickets online, but they're lined up so they can get a decent seat. And we would have walked out and walked right back in if we knew it was a thing.
So they just take you at a different exit or something, did they?
No, but they've got like the employees are all kind of standing there almost like barricading.
Oh, like, come on. You know, it's not like that. Was it that Homer? I can't believe Darth Vader turned out to be Luke Skywalker's father. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And they're like shouting it. Don't say anything. Don't ruin it for me, which I thought was cool of them, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, it would have been really cool to just walk back in. But then, like, for Rogue One, I remember, I saw it 3 times in a row. Nice. And it was funny because my buddy Metzi and I, it had to be just the two of us for the first showing. And then we invited other people for the other ones, but we still had the same seats every time.
Yeah.
the same deal, man. Yeah. Oh, those were such good times. And I don't know. I know it's real easy to... I was pretty frustrated, as an example, with The Rise of Skywalker.
The film or but the...
The film.
Yeah, the same here.
But as I look back, right, I watched the movie when we were on our way back from Anaheim going to Disneyland. And each movie, as it sits by itself, there's actually quite a bit to like about it. And when I think about the magic of like being in the theater and seeing it surrounded by people who are super stoked to be there and all that, listen... It was still a good time no matter what.
Yeah, and I think that's, you know, ultimately you know, sometimes the film isn't what you want it to be, but that doesn't, you know, like I still remember that Rise of Skywalker panel at Chicago was amazing. You know, mm-hmm. we all freaked out at the trailer and you know, and we got to see that in the room, and then we got to see everybody afterwards who either was or wasn't in the room and react and talk and experience all of that. And that you know, so there'll always be fondness for the film regardless because of all the stuff that goes around it. And the thing is, it's just like, well, you know, it's like at that age order, like it's okay, you don't have to like everything. It's how you conduct yourself about the way you don't like something that's important. No one's telling you that you have to like stuff. It's just the way that you do it. But I think we'll go, like my daughter has seen the first two originals. She's seen Star Wars and Empire, and we took her to see Empire Strikes Back with the Melbourne Symphony Orchestra a few weeks ago, which was amazing, and she loved it. And she was unspoiled. She did not know Darth Vader was Luke Skywalker's father. She had no idea. So she got that moment in a theater with an orchestra to see it, and I got to turn to her face, and she's like, you know, she was eight. She is she's eight. You know, she got to have that moment, which was pretty crazy. So we'll do Return of the Jedi, and then we'll get on to, I think she's seen about half of Force Awakens because she's very aware of Rey. That was sort of her way in to start, but I don't think she's seen it all the way through. But we'll do Force Awakens. We'll do Last Jedi. We'll do Rise of Skywalker. And I'll be curious to just see what she thinks. Like, I think she'll just roll with it. You know, like I think she'll be the kid that just enjoys the story.
Yeah. Well, and that's how my kids were with it. They were just kids who enjoyed the story. There wasn't any other baggage with it, I guess.
No. Even like the, I don't think they even have the expectation, and it's not like they sit there and go, or they might go, oh, I wonder what's going to happen. But I don't think they go, well, if it doesn't go this way, there's trouble. Like, oh, all right, well, I guess that's the story, and the story is the story, and you know, it won't matter. Like, I think we'll definitely get to it before. Like, I like the idea that we could do that and then we could go see the next Rey movie, if that's in 2 years. But I think we'll get to those films before then anyway. Like, I don't think I'll just go, all right, we'll watch Rise of Skywalker the day before and then we'll roll into the Rey movie.
Right.
You know, but by the time that comes out, she'll be 10 or 11. So I'll, you know, potentially she could do a midnight screening and stuff. And that'll be pretty exciting, I think.
Yeah, I wonder what Metzi would say if I said, hey, man, we're bringing my kid to this show. He'd probably tell me no. And I'd have to accept that. Like, all right, you're right.
He's like, dude, we've got our thing, you know. Traditions are important.
This is what we do. He's got a kid now, too. So, you know, what's he gonna say? Of course, she'll be way too young for that. She'll only be like 3 when that movie comes out.
Yeah,
so.
Well, your oldest will be, you know, 11 or 12 by then. How old's your...
She'll be 13.
Oh, she'll be like, whatever, Dad.
If that comes out.
if it ever comes out, yeah. Like,
yeah.
Can you see your stupid little space movie?
Yeah.
And that's the danger. Like, I know we're wrapping up here. Like, you know, the danger of the kids aging out of Bluey before... I mean, if Bluey keeps going, and I don't see any reason why... I mean, it's kind of funny, Bluey, because it's... They're making more of it, but they're not making tons of it. It's not like they're going, we're pumping 50 out a year, that they're taking breaks. They're doing a new episode early next year that they've said they're doing an extra special longer episode, but that's it so far. So it's not, there is a chance that they might just wind up and go, all right, well, Bluey will end and there'll be 100 episodes and that'll be whatever it is.
Well, you know, I've saw in some fan group I'm part of that I think that there is going to be at least a lull in it. That, you know, they're going to focus on other things and all that. So, but it is a concern because, listen, part of what makes our show cute is that my son has still his little boy voice and that we talk about the show. And I, of course, my kids have both, it's been made perfectly clear that doing the Bluey podcast is a requirement for living here. So
for food,
doing it. But yeah, but you like eating, you like stuff. Well, but yeah, it's just a matter of them being at an age where it's still cute. But the thing is, that's one of the things that's nice about Bluey is that it's sort of transcends age.
But it's also a, you know,
because it,
it's also a time capsule. Like, you'll be able to, you've got mm-hmm. that, you've captured that moment in time now, you know, like even this podcast, which has been going for a number of years, and your podcast as well. And you can look back at certain things, whether they be celebrations or movie premieres or whatever they are, and you go, wow, that's what was going on at that point in time and whatever else. Mm-hmm. But, you know, like, you'll have this thing of like, well, that's what the Struthers family was when the kids were this big. Yep. And they did this thing, and we'll always kind of have that. Mm-hmm. Which, whether Bluey's around or not, you know, whatever form it is later right. on. But, you know, at the moment it's all going so well, you don't want to have to think about going, well, we've only got, you know, 20 more times that we can do this unless we pivot.
Exactly. Yeah. And I mean, you know, that is something that I've thought about because, you know, we're just partway into season two.
I'm just waiting for the cricket episode. I just can't wait for you guys to talk about the cricket episode and see if you can make head nor tail of it, because it's such a... I don't think it's been out in America yet, but it's such a...
No.
It's such an encapsulation of a sport that is so... It's not uniquely Australian. Obviously, that's the second highest viewed sport in the world. But the way that it's presented and the way that it taps into what it means to Australians is very specific, mm-hmm. like very, you know, and obviously, you know, Australia, you know, the local things and the way we talk and do all that kind of stuff feeds into Bluey so much. But, you know, in most cases, you guys do a really good job making head or tail of it, even with there's things uh-huh. that you go like, oh, what's an icy pole or an ice block, or what's a, you know, what is, you know, what was the one the other day that you were talking about that was... sweet as, you know, like it doesn't mean
yeah.
Sweet as what? It doesn't, you know, the cricket one is just so fascinating because I just, part of me goes like, oh, I want to be there to tell you what it means. But at the same time, I want to see if your family can, whether you can tie it to an American equivalent or what, gotcha. What it is, you know, what it is, or whether it's just like, oh, I know I need to find out more about this and whatever else. It's quite fascinating. I'm just waiting for that. You know, if nothing else, one day when that pops up on my feed, that the dinner with the heelers of talking cricket, yeah. it's going to, yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
It'll be a little while, but
it'll be a while. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Mate, it's just good to catch up. You know, like you absolutely, said, we're sort of we're in each other's ears, you know, every other weeks or two, and we hear. Uh-huh. And I feel like I get a good thing of you, you know, or what you're up to particularly, I think, just because you know, you're on a couple of podcasts I hear a lot, and especially, you know, you talk about with your family and then on the Sith list and with the boys there as well. But, you know, I lost, you know, the motivators was one way to catch up, but there's still, it's not like it's all cut off, which is good. But, whether it's Japan or like I'm 99% sure there'll be a celebration in America the year after Japan anyway. So whether we have to wait a little bit longer to catch up in person, it's just good to have you know around, have the chit chat just to catch up.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely, it's been really good, and I probably won't be able to make Celebration Japan. Who knows? Maybe I'll win the lottery in between.
Anything can happen. You know? Anything is possible.
Yeah.
You never say never, but I know it's you know, it's funny for us because it is about as close as we'll ever get to Australia for a celebration, but it's still like 10 hours away. It's almost as yeah. long to as it is to fly to LA as it is to fly to Japan. It's not that much. It's only a few hours difference, but it is the same sort of time zone, and it is, you know, a little bit more uh-huh. Australian friendly. But tell everybody about where they can find you. We haven't already talked about it enough, but for people who don't already know, who wouldn't?
Yeah, check out Dinner with the Heelers, a podcast that my family does about the awesome cartoon Bluey. Check me out on the Sith list with all the crew. I am the Star Wars guy there. And, you know, I stream mostly Red Dead on Twitch, twitch.tv/mouserat2217. Those are the easiest places to track me down.
And when Taylor Swift buys Star Wars in, you know, but in the next few weeks, we'll get you in for the running commentary. You just,
oh my gosh, yes, please! I'll have many things to say.
Oh man, I just for the YouTube chat, just for the YouTube videos about that one. Maybe she'll just buy Disney on, because she could just buy Disney as a whole and just get Star Wars with it as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. She's like, well, why would I carve that out? So I know we're winding up here. Maybe she'll just buy the whole thing. I don't always keep hearing that, you know, that Apple wants to buy Disney and blah, blah, blah. But I think Taylor could just buy it, and then we'll get the Taylor Swift Muppets reboot.
I would take it.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. Had a few weeks off, obviously, after Ahsoka. I just need to take a little break. But hopefully we'll get a bit more regular on the episodes. We are going to do, I think, some more review stuff with the guys who've done Ahsoka. We talked about that, I think, on the Ahsoka recap. But I think we're just going to talk about some of the films and things. So that probably will come up in the next few weeks as well. I can get all the ducks in a row. But yeah, thank you, everybody. Thank you, Eric. Always a pleasure.
Absolutely, man.
See you soon. We'll be right back.